Welcome all of you to our Wednesday night service. Welcome to our guests who are here for the first time. It's good to have you. So we have gotten word that Barbara has passed. Not only a remarkable woman, a remarkable friend, a remarkable leader, an evolutionary presence. I'd like to just have us hold our hands in attunement. Just take a moment to acknowledge how she has blessed us, to set her free with our blessing for whatever adventure she's on now, which I guarantee is an adventure for her. She would never allow herself to be bored. I will speak in the we instead of the I and say, we give thanks for the many ways we have been blessed, Barbara. We give thanks for your joyful spirit. We give thanks for the calling forth of our greatness that you did. We acknowledge that you are still here with us in our hearts. We know that while forms change, love moves forward in ever blossoming ways. And may our living be a way of honoring what you have given to us. Amen. Many of us know some of Barbara's repeated and favorite expressions. And one of them for me, considering she passed away today, is, okay, what just happened? She would say that all the time, like something, what just happened? Like, let's pay attention to what just happened. And considering it has been a remarkably fast week, some of us had dinner with her and saw a movie a week ago. Some of you were with her. You know, it's very fast. But her asking of the question wasn't like what just happened to her body, but what's different now than when we started a moment ago or something like that. Another thing she used to always ask is, what is your gift, your specific gift to be dedicated to this evolution of humanity? And then she'd make people stand up and name it, whatever it is that is your gift. And then she'd say, oh, well, what is yours to give, and what is it that you need? I'm sure you've all heard her say those things. And I appreciated what Uma said not too long ago, that you'd be in the middle of a conversation with her, and she says, I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about this. Because she really wanted to keep people on track with what was on the leading edge of their thinking. Her thinking, in particular, she was interested in. But if you wanted to join in, it's like, I'm thinking about this, I don't really want to talk about that. I had an experience with her not too long ago. While some people were drinking wine with her, she always liked to have me over because she and I liked martinis. So we were drinking a martini, and she was telling me the story because, you know, she grew up in a very fancy part of New York, and she had connections in New York because of her dad being very famous. And her husband, Earl Hubbard, he was an artist. And she told me that he never wanted to see her father. Now, he was the founder of Mark's Toys, so he was very famous, very well known. I don't want to see your father until I'm as famous as he is. And I just looked at her and I said, now that is like setting yourself up for failure, because this guy was hugely famous. While I was with her in the hospital, I had conversations with Lloyd and Suzanne about what their grandfather was like. Here's an example of how eccentric this guy was. He had two king-size beds in his home pushed together so he could sleep with his 25 dogs. Wow. And he also always had a refrigerator in the bathroom full of chocolate. Okay, so this guy was... 25 dogs and chocolate, all right? He's hitting a few buttons here. So she was telling me the story how she was really trying to promote her husband's art because it wasn't happening. And she knew this guy, General, I think it was John Marshall, and he was he did media for all of the armed, I don't know if it was just the Army, but I think it was for the armed services. So he was the one promoting the armed services in the United States. So he, obviously a guy of quite a bit of stature, and he was going to be retiring soon. And so she got him on board to help promote her husband's art. And then she got the head of CBS to also be on the scheme. And she also got some of the top women of the Century Club, which is a very, it is like the oldest and most prestigious women's club in New York. So she has all these people. She's organized this whole thing, and they all come back to her apartment. Well, some of the women, the general, the head of CBS, her husband's there, and a few other high-ranking officials. And she's serving them cocktails and sandwiches and stuff. And the general stands up and raises his drink, and he says, "I'd like to toast Earl Hubbard." And I just looked at her, and I said, this is while she's telling the story, and I said, "Barbara, that whole thing was your creation." And she just burst into tears, and she said, "I never saw it, and I never realized how I was creating things, and it wasn't being acknowledged in the world in which I lived." Some of it was the generation. I mean, what was that, in the 40s or 50s? I mean, her youngest son is 56, so it was probably when the kids were little. But there was something in her, even then, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, still seeing things new. That she said, I never thought of it. I said, "Barbara, they should have been toasting you for the fact that you, what you were doing." I mean, the very fact that she called these dignitaries together and created a scenario where her husband could be seen, but also her ability to connect. And anybody who knows her knows she was like one of the greatest connectors in the whole world. It wasn't that she was naive, it was the culture. And she had to she was letting go of it 2 weeks ago. Not telling me that story of how, because part of what Suzanne and her brother were doing this past week was going through all of Earl's art. They have a storage place is filled with his art, and they don't know what to do with it. Part of it, she's been, was dedicated to getting his art to be successful. So to still have, as Gary was speaking, a fundamental thing in her own awareness opening up at 89 years old in a way that she could see a limitation she had about her own glory. I mean, what a gift that is to I mean, I'm not taking credit for it. In some ways, I was kind of like, "You gotta be kidding." But for her, it was like, "I just didn't even think of it until you said it out loud." So her gift was, say these things out loud to each other, people. I'm sharing with the people in the service prep. I interviewed, we had six students lined up to get art scholarships in their freshman year of college, who are graduating from Loveland High Schools, and they presented their portfolios and their essays. So they're seniors, that's probably 18 years old, right? 17, 18, somewhere in there. And so I captured these two quotes from two of the essays of the girls who won the scholarships. And I wanted to just read them to you. This one is from Evelyn. "Over the years, I have realized that creating art for me is a way to throw out my thoughts and ideas and to express what kind of human being I am. I feel the world needs drops of self-expression and rainbows in its puddles of black and white." And then Kelsey said this, "A common question adults pose to children, what do you want to be when you grow up? The vast majority of kids pull the easiest answer their minds can grasp to avoid further interrogation. Doctor, astronaut, firefighter. But I always gave my truest answer, mermaid, pop star, ballerina. And then I finally settled on the one career my heart has remained truest to, be an artist." I think these are quotes that represent the invitation that I want to extend to my world, and Barbara extended it to me. Like, if you ever sat with her and she was giving you words of appreciation, what she was mainly doing was saying, "I want more." And I want to live my life saying to you, "I want more. I want more of the reality of your being. I want more of the manifestation of the joy of glory of doing it together. I want us at the end of each day to say, What just happened? I just spent a day. What just happened? Like, did I sleep through it or did something happen? Did I give my gift? Did I assist someone to give their gift? We did a process with her. It was in a managerial session one of the times when she first got here, where she was saying, where are you on the evolutionary wheel? I mean, she was always asking you, where are your gifts on that wheel? And she had us set up, like, what is it you need to get your work done? And then had us put post-it notes up of what are you willing to give and what is it you need? And so, like, just thinking like that, do you think there are things that you have to give that other people might need? Or are there things you need that you're afraid to ask for? Because you might look, as Gary was saying, that it's just not how it all works. Asking for what you need is not how the world works. You just have to take what you get and make the best out of it. Oh yeah, that was Barbara's spirit. Absolutely not. She was like pushing the evolutionary wheel with a crank up to the last minute. When the first time I saw her was with Uma when she came out of anesthesia, and I thought, she's taking a long deserved rest. And I mean, we both were thinking, we kept trying to wake her up, but then I was thinking, this might be the longest nap she'll ever take. Well, I don't think she's really napping, but at that time, it was kind of, what do you need? And you don't need me to make you do anything. You need me to just bring my gifts and bring whatever it is my friends need from me. Not too long ago, I was considering, what does it take to read the field I'm with and see what the people are begging for? And I can tell you, if you're standing up here, this room is begging for something. And am I ready to answer the prayer? And how do you answer the prayer of the hearts of 50 people? Firstly, you have to get real. Because if you're handing out falseness, it will be a very unsatisfying meal to the people. And as both Gary and Rude were representing, the things Barbara said hit all of us in very different ways. Because she was constantly giving her gift, and it was filling the need and the hunger of the people. That's our job, too. It's always been our job. She just decided to come here for the last number of years of her life to show us how to get it done in a certain way. Anybody else here who was part of the decision of whether or not she should move here? So I had to take on that responsibility with David and a couple other people, and there are a number of things to consider. I mean, she was really famous. Would everybody be now more interested in what she was doing than what Sunrise Ranch was about? Where could she live? I mean, part of my concern was I had no idea if she was frail. She was 86 years old. Like, how do we take care of someone who's 86 years old? She certainly didn't need a whole lot, but I didn't know that till she came here. But just setting a heaven for her to come, and then, as Rude said, for him to take responsibility to assist her in her mingling into the community and being held here and loved here. Anybody here feel they didn't offer her something? I don't believe it for a moment. She loved being here, and she would say to me repeatedly, I've been given so much by Sunrise Ranch. What can I give back? What can I give back? And then she would give herself. I mean, and she gave lots. So this is an invitation to remember those gifts, but also answer her question. Where do you belong on the evolutionary wheel, and what have you got to give, and how do you want to create? The relationship doesn't go away. The proximity does. We have a chance to stay in relationship with her spirit and to be inspired by it. I was told once, and I find it to be the absolute truth, if you would like to compliment a leader who inspired you, lead. Let's do that. Thanks for being with her, and thank you for honoring our friend this evening. Thank you for those of you who are a guest for the first time. This is an unusual way to spend an evening, but I'm glad you are here, and I know you can feel the presence of this fine woman. Thank you, everybody.